need a good word from the Lord this morning. Yeah, give God praise. Come on. We're going to open up part 5 now of our series on Elijah, chapter 19. And the word of God says in 1 Kings chapter 19, it says, "Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, 'May the gods deal with me, be ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I don't make your life like one of them.' Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there, while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, he sat down under it, and he prayed that he might die. 'I've had enough, Lord,' he said. 'Take my life, I'm no better than my ancestors.' And he laid down under the tree and he fell asleep. At once an angel touched him and said, 'Get up and eat.' He looked around and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and he drank and he laid down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, 'Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you.' So he got up and he ate and he drank. Strengthened by the food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into the cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I have been very zealous.'" Notice what Elijah says. "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, breaking down your altar, and they put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand in the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. When the great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And notice, after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out, and he stood on the mouth of the cave. Then the voice, that whisper, said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' He replied, 'I've been zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too.'" So he tells God a second time. Then the Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, the king of Aram. Also anoint Jehu, the king over Israel, and anoint Elijah." Notice, anoint Elijah, the son of Shaphat from Albo. "Jehu will put to death and anyone who escapes the sword of Hazael, and Elijah will put to death anyone who escapes the sword of Jehu." Notice God corrects him in verse 18. "Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." Let's pray. Father, I pray that you bless this word. Bless all here going through a difficult season. And use me, Holy Spirit, to preach your word. We ask for your presence, Lord, to be known here today in this place. That you would touch the brokenhearted, the discouraged, the fearful. That you would anoint us with your presence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can have a seat as we get into this word this morning. I want you to highlight verse 4. Verse 4 is what really stood out to me as I read this passage of scripture. As Elijah went himself a day's journey into the desert, he came under a tree and he sat down under it. Church, I want you to notice that he prayed. He prayed that he might die. But I want you to notice the phrase that he says. I've had enough. Come on, would you just repeat that phrase to yourself? Just say, I've had enough. One more time, like you mean it. I've had enough. What's interesting is that Elijah, when you read about him in the New Testament, the Bible points him out to be a great man of faith and a great man who prayed. It's what Elijah was known for. It's what we've studied as we've studied him throughout these 5 weeks. Elijah was a great man of faith and great man of prayer. There was no denying that. Elijah prayed for the widow's son to be raised back to life from the dead. Even though resurrection hasn't even happened yet in Scripture, this was the first account of it, but Elijah prayed because he believed that God can do the impossible. Last week we learned how Elijah prayed for fire. He prayed for fire to consume the altar that was covered in water because he believed that the power of God was supernatural and can do the impossible. He had faith. Elijah prayed after 3.5 years of having not a single drop of rain. Elijah would pray 7 times, and he believed the word of God that God told him rain was coming, and in faith he prayed for it. There's no doubt as we read the story of Elijah that Elijah was a man that loved the Lord, had faith, and he prayed for the impossible. But what stood out to me now was this prayer that he prayed. He prayed that God would end his life. He wasn't suicidal, don't mistake that. But what Elijah was saying is, Lord, I have no desire for life anymore. I wish I was just with you. And Elijah prayed that the Lord would just take his life. Now, this is a prayer of desperation. This was a prayer of great sadness. You might say, well, why was Elijah so devastated? Why was he so sad? Well, he said it clearly in verse 4. Let's look at that one more time. Elijah was honest with himself and he was honest with God. And he said, Lord, and this is his prayer, I have had enough. I've had enough. Have you ever felt like that, church? Can I get a witness this morning? I've had enough. And maybe that's you now. Maybe this is you this morning. Or maybe you can remember a time you've told this, or maybe you've prayed this yourself. But you're saying, I've had enough. I've had enough of the stress every day in my life. I've had enough of people and their problems, and I've had enough of people who are depending on me. I've had enough of the disappointments I go through. I've had enough of the bad news I hear every day. I've had enough of the struggles that I have in my daily routine. I've had enough of the lack of money and the high cost of living and the financial burden and pressure I have every day of my life. I've had enough of the struggle. I'm tired. This mentality of having enough is so common, and it can make you feel as though everything is wrong in your life. It can make you feel like a deep darkness is over you and sadness. You can feel lonely and tired and feel like it's over. And if this is what you're saying to yourself this morning, you're saying, Pastor, I understand. I'm there right now. I've had enough. I want to tell you this morning, you're not alone. The fact is that Elijah was being honest with himself and God. And Elijah was a man that told God, I've had enough of what I'm going through. Elijah's life turned to a deep, dark depression. And this morning, I want to talk to you about the truth about depression. But before we can get to the truth about depression, we have to understand the lie we tell ourselves about depression. Here are some of the lies that we tell ourselves. If you're depressed, something is wrong with you. Another lie that I hear a lot, only people in the world that don't know Jesus, the non-believers, have depression. But if you're a Christian and you love Jesus, you're supposed to always be happy, always be joyful, always be positive, always be optimistic, always be encouraging, and be encouraged. But Depression and Christianity have nothing in common. It just doesn't exist in the life of a believer. If you have depression in your life, it's because you're lacking faith. And if you have depression in your life, it's because you are in sin and you need to repent. And it's these lies that we tell ourselves about depression that make us feel guilty when we have it. It makes us feel like something's wrong with us. It's why as Christians, when we're going through depression, we hide it. We don't talk about it. We don't tell anyone. And we just go through life suppressing it and pretending like everything's okay. So when someone says to you, how's it going? You have to be a good Christian and say, oh, I'm victorious in Jesus. I'm good. Everything's wonderful. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. But the reality is you're living under this lie that you can be a follower of Jesus Christ and never go through depression. That is just a lie from the enemy. The truth about depression, it's not a sin. And believers like Elijah can suffer from it. You see, the Bible says Elijah was a man of faith and Elijah was a man of prayer. But the Bible also says in the book of James that Elijah was human. You see, we love Jesus and we love him and praise him and serve him the best that we can to our ability. But all of us have this in common. We're human. Can I get an amen there? We're human. And life is hard. And Elijah loved the Lord. Elijah was in the ministry. Elijah served God. He was obedient. And he prayed and helped others. But Elijah teaches us that there are moments in life that we experience the goodness of God and his excellence. Elijah experienced God's provision and power and healing and fire, and everything was amazing. But see, Elijah also shows us that there are moments in life that you experience the highest of highs, but with the highest of high comes the lowest of lows. The Bible uses words like valleys, pits, darkness, shadows, slaughterhouse, to describe some of the seasons in our life. Being a believer doesn't mean that life is always easy. I believe that being a believer means the opposite, because now you have the enemy after you and attacking you. Being a believer means that you love the Lord with all your heart and you trust him the best you can, but you will go through low valleys in life. You will go through low seasons, and you and I are human. If you are going through depression this morning, do not feel guilty about that. If you are feeling depressed this morning, do not convince yourself that God is mad at you and God is angry with you. It's just the opposite. If you're going through depression, the Lord wants to see you through it. Give him praise in this house this morning. He wants to see you through this dark sign. Even David said, as I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, David understood, I go through valleys and I go through shadows of death, but I go through it because the Lord is with me. And that is my prayer today, is that the Lord will see you through the season of your life where you are confessing with yourself, I am going through depression. Life is hard. We get sad. The Bible says sorrow may last the night, but joy comes in the morning. The Bible doesn't look down on you when you're sad. God does not get angry with you when you're sad. In fact, he encourages you when you're sad. He says it's just the season and joy is coming ahead of you. There is joy ahead. So don't you give up in the season of sadness. Jesus himself said, blessed are those who mourn. He wants to bless the mourners, not curse them. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. He wants to comfort those that are going through mourning. And he wants to bless you. We go through mourning. We mourn the loss of loved ones. We mourn the memory of those that are no longer with us. We mourn the loss of our friends and our family members, our brothers, our sisters, our parents, our grandparents. We mourn them for a season, but the Bible says that I want to comfort you when you are in mourning. The Bible says when you are discouraged that you should put your hope in the Lord. But nowhere in the Bible, when you're sad, mourning, or discouraged, does God look down on you? Does God curse you? Does God get angry with you? Does God question your faith? Because God understands that you and I are going through this life that is hard, and we are human. He doesn't get angry with us because you're down right now. He doesn't get angry with us because you're going through depression. You might be going through sadness. You might be going through mourning. You might be going through discouragement, and it's all a temporary season. But depression, it's a whole other animal. Depression can last a lifetime. Depression can be passed on to the next generation. Depression can be something you don't shake off until you're dead and buried. Depression is something that can haunt you if you let it. Depression is not like sadness and mourning and discouragement, because all of us know that that's a temporary season. But depression can actually have a hold on you for the rest of your life. And I've met people that have suffered depression for years. How many of you know someone like that? Depression will convince you that life is hopeless, that things will never change. Depression will cause you to lose joy. It will cause you to withdraw from others. It may even convince you that it's better just to die. In Elijah's case, I have no joy for living. Depression can put you in a place where all you want to do is sleep, or you can't sleep. Depression will put you in a place of constant fear, anxiety, doom and gloom, negativity. Everything's wrong. Everything is dangerous. And depression is something that if you're not careful, you could actually learn to manage and not be set free from. You see, there's something psychologists call functional depression, and it's real. The same way you can be a functioning alcoholic or a functioning drug addict. Not every alcoholic or drug addict is strung out under a bridge homeless. It's just not the truth. In fact, the majority of them have jobs and homes and are raising families. And they're functioning just fine, but they just have this bondage with them. The same is true for depression. You can live with depression and get up tomorrow, Monday morning, and go to work. You can take your kids to school. You can be in school. Depression is at a young age now. It means that you can be in church right now and be under depression. It means a person sitting right next to you doesn't have all of their life together like they pretend to be. It doesn't mean that everyone around you in this church, because we're worshiping together and we have a smile and we're hugging each other and listening to the word of God, that doesn't mean that depression is absent from this place. It can very well be that right now the Holy Spirit is pressing on your heart because I'm talking to you. And you're in the church right now, but you can confess that after you leave this wonderful place of worship, the depression just waits for you when you get home. Did you know that pastors, the most they feel depressed is after church on Sunday mornings? And it's true. You know, you wouldn't believe what happens when I try to take a nap on a Sunday morning and how the devil just presses down on my mind and says, you change no one and nothing's changing. And that service, we did this bad and this wrong and this wrong. And you just begin to sink down. And for so many people, after you give birth to a wonderful child, there's post-depression with mothers. Depression can happen in so many levels. That just because you're in church doesn't mean that you have it all together. Sometimes we're depressed and we don't even know why. But you say, I just can't shake this off, because depression is not only physical and not only medical. Depression is very much spiritual. And the devil loves depression because depression puts us in a state of hopelessness where we run away from God instead of running to Him. Why is it that depression presses down on us and suppresses all of these feelings? Well, verse 7, 8, and 9 tells us clearly. And this is where you're going to relate to this. The angel of the Lord, which is a reference, by the way, in the Old Testament, not a angel of the Lord, but the angel of the Lord, as a reference to Jesus in the Old Testament. So Jesus comes back to Elijah a second time. And he touches him and said, get up. Can I tell you this morning that this is the prayer I have for you, and what God desires for your life is that you get up from where you're at in your depression. He says, get up and eat. But notice what the Bible says. The Lord tells him, the journey is too much for you. That is the source of all depression. Everything is too much for you. You got too much on your plate. You got too much on your mind. You got too much going on. Too much riding on this. Too much in my life. Too much over me. Too much things I have to change. Too much things I have to control. You are taking on too much. And we were never meant to handle too much. The burden of life is too heavy for us to bear. But in our pride and in our ego, we try to manage it. But God says himself, Elijah, this is too much for you. It's too much for you to think about every day how you're going to pay the bills and raise the kids and have a great marriage and retire and this and work and this and that and this. It is too much for you. Your mind cannot handle all of the much you are giving it. Am I preaching to you this morning? It wasn't, no. Elijah said, I've had enough. And God says, yes, you know why? Because it's too much for you. See, depression is not just having too much on you. Depression happens for two reasons. Notice that the Lord fed Elijah twice. He fed him the first time because Elijah was weak from the journey he was on, that he'd been through. That he walked a whole day's journey to the desert and he was exhausted. So God fed him to strengthen him for what he's been through. And then God fed him a second time to strengthen him for what he was gonna go through. You know what depression does? Depression says this is too much for me, and all you're thinking of is one or two things. One, you're depressed because of what you've been through. You're depressed over the past. You're depressed over the failures and the choices you made. You're depressed over the people that hurt you and the abuse you suffered. You're depressed because of all the disappointment and failed expectations. And many people have too much on them because all they're doing is thinking about what they've gone through, the journey that was behind them. But then there's another person that's depressed, not because of what they've been through, but what they're facing ahead. And you're thinking thoughts of what if, and what am I going to do, and what's my future like, and I have so many choices and so much on me and so much I have to decide and so many directions I have, and I'm facing this that's bigger than me. So depression just presses down on you, and it's too much for you because you're either thinking of what you've gone through or you're thinking of what's ahead of you, or some of you are so depressed you're saying, Pastor, I have both. And so many people can't shake this off. Depression is a multi-billion dollar industry in the U.S. It's a $1 trillion industry worldwide. And you have things from self-help books and psychologists and therapists and medicine. And listen, I'm not knocking on that this morning. If you're on a Xanax right now, I'm not judging you. That's not wrong. There's chemical imbalances. I'm not a doctor, but let me tell you something. Can I speak truth this morning? I've never met a person on Xanax that says it's taken my depression away. I've never met a person that says, oh, ever since I've been in therapy, I feel my depression's gone. I've never met a person depressed that says, ever since I read the 7 points of this and by doctor this and that, everything's great. I have yet to meet a person in depression, rely on the world's methods, be delivered. But I have met people run to the presence of Jesus and be healed from me. I have seen it. I've lived it. I have seen it. Because I believe the same way Jesus touched Elijah in the deepest, darkest time in his life. Our Heavenly Father looks and sees where you're at. He doesn't judge you. He doesn't get angry with you. He only wants to give you the touch because the Lord has the touch. Amen. And He can strengthen you and get you back up again because He is not done. You have maybe had enough, but God has not. Come on, can we take a praise break for a second? That God says, I can touch any area in your life that's depressed. Because see, what the world tries to do is get you to manage depression. Numb it. So you walk around like a zombie. But you got to keep going to it. You got to keep relying on your insurance and money and this and that. But it reminds me of the woman with the issue of blood who spent all she had trying to get better. But when she heard about Jesus, she just knelt down and reached out to Him. And the Bible says power left Him. And she was healed. Do you believe this morning that the Lord still has power to heal your depression? So you have to ask yourself, why am I so down? God asked Elijah, why are you here? And as I studied this scripture, I realized that in the scriptures, it tells us the reasons why we suffer depression. See, you're probably wondering why this sign is here. This is a beautiful sign. Let me read it the best I can. Not the whole thing, but it says, in this house is something Jericho buys all the time. You know, Hobby Lobby people. You know those Hobby Lobby people? Yeah. It says, we love each other unconditionally. We have joy. We apologize. We forgive. I'll read this part. We believe in miracles. We appreciate the little things in life. In this house, we have joy. We have sweet dreams at night. And I'm reading this, and I'm thinking, where did this sign come from? I never knew I owned it. Never knew it was in my bathroom. You know why? Because it was behind the door, like this, and covering it was a mirror. Exactly that. You go behind my door bathroom. This is exactly what you see. So there's this positive message of what it is to have a house with the Lord. And there's joy and forgiveness. But I never saw it. Because every morning when I go to the bathroom, I just see this mirror. And I see myself. And when I saw that this morning, I realized that's what depression looks like. You see, God's word says He has joy for you. He has a plan for your life. He tells us not to worry about tomorrow. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. There is so much in the Word of God and in the Lord that unlocks joy and peace like you would never believe. But see, what the devil does is he puts a mirror between you and God. And depression, all it is self-focus. Depression is only self-focus. Whenever you go through depression, ask yourself, what am I constantly thinking about? And 100% of the time, you'll notice it's all about who? Me. My problems. My life, my failures. And as long as you're self-focused, You will never be God-focused. And that's what Elijah went through. Let me give you some examples that depression does when you're self-focused. Elijah told the Lord, number one, fear. Jezebel, women are scary, I get it. But Jezebel, one ungodly woman, sent a messenger to tell Elijah, by this time tomorrow, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah, the Bible says, was afraid. And he ran. But notice the trick that Jezebel has. It's a demonic trick. It's what the devil does. You know, Jezebel said, this time tomorrow. Why couldn't, if she was so powerful, why couldn't she kill him today? Because she knew she did not have the power to kill him. So instead of killing him today, which she knew she couldn't, she said, I'll just put the fear of tomorrow in him. And that's what the devil does. The devil knows he can't destroy you. He can't touch you. But you know what he can do? He can put fear for tomorrow in your spirit. And there are so many people depressed over fear of tomorrow. Fear of what's next. Fear of the future. Fear for your kids, your life, your retirement, next month, next year, 10 years from now. And some of you are not even thinking about today because you're constantly fearful for tomorrow. When Jesus says, do not be afraid for tomorrow will worry about itself. And God will take care of you. You are more valuable than any of the birds he takes care of. Come on, give him some praise this morning. But see, depression comes out of fear. It is impossible for you to be God-focused when all you're focused on is the things that fear. The things that bring fear into your life. Elijah not only had fear, but I'm just going to shorten this. Failed expectations. Elijah said, I have been zealous for you. I have been serving you. And he thought after he prayed and fire would fall down from heaven, that everyone would repent and the altars would be rebuilt and all of Israel would go back to worshiping God. And none of that happened. And that's the dangerous thing about ministry, that we get into ministry thinking that we're the ones that are going to bring revival and change and the world's going to know Jesus because of my ministry. And when it doesn't happen, yeah. He had failed expectations. Elijah had failed expectations like you do. Life, and so many people get depressed because their expectation of what they thought their lives would look like, where they'd be in their future by now, at this age, I'd be married, I'd had kids, I'd be retired, I've had this amount of money, I would have traveled, I would have done this. But how many of you know the life you're living right now is not the life you thought about when you were in high school? The truth, I don't want to disappoint all the youngins here. But we have dreams and hope and expectations, but the reality is the Bible says man plans in his heart, but God determines the outcome. But so many people get into a deep, dark depression because of they're thinking about what could have been versus what is now. It's your failed expectations. Elijah was alone. Self-focused people with depression withdraw from people. Did you notice that Elijah left his servant behind? How many noticed that? The servant that was with him, that was loyal to him, that was with him on the mountaintop when there was not a drop in the sky, and said, go check for rain. That servant went 7 times and faithful and obedient to Elijah. He was committed. He was loyal. He loved Elijah. But when Elijah was depressed, he did not care about his servant. It was all about me. And he pushed him away and left him. And we never hear about him again. Because depressed people are so self-focused that they will cut people out of their life when they're depressed. You're going to shut your phone off. You're going to ignore your friends. You're not going to come to church. You just want to be alone. And let me tell you, if you're depressed and you seek loneliness, the Bible says it's not good for a man to be alone. And that's why even Jesus says when a shepherd loses one sheep, he leaves the 99 behind and he goes after that one, because that one sheep that's alone is very vulnerable and the devil, the wolf, wants to attack. That's why the Bible says never make it a habit of not coming to church. You need fellowship. You need the community. You need the Word of God. You need other believers around you. You need Forward Fellowship. You need this right now. Don't stay home and wallow. Don't stay home isolated. Don't say, I don't want to go out. I don't want to do anything. Listen, get out. Get out of the house. Walk. Call a friend. Go have coffee. Come to church. Worship. And get yourself out of your mind. Isolation is huge now. So many people are fine being alone. And I want to tell you something. Scrolling on social media with your friends doesn't mean that you're with your friends. Elijah. Self-focused people. Elijah was tired. So tired serving others, he didn't even have time to eat. And he felt weak. He neglected his own needs. Depression comes easily to those who take on too much, who gas out, helping this person and helping this person, doing that and doing that. And Elijah was just tired. The lies that depression brings. Elijah said, I, self-centered, focused, I am the only one left. Depressed people lie to themselves. You're the only one going through what you're going through. No one else is suffering like this. You're the only one. You have it the hardest. Everyone else is happy. No one's going through this. You are alone in this. You begin to have a wrong perception. He thought he was the only prophet. The only one. He compared himself to others. Depression is so self-centered, you just compare yourself to others. Elijah told the Lord, I am no better than my ancestors. So many people are depressed because all you do is look at other people's life. And they're doing this, and they're happily married, and their kids are successful, and they're traveling, and they're doing this, and I'm here, and what about me? And they're happier than I am. Elijah was comparing himself to his ancestors. And his ancestors were not even thinking about Elijah. They were long gone and dead. And some of you are comparing yourself to someone that's not even thinking of you right now. But this is what the devil loves to do, to block you and become so self-focused that you don't focus on God anymore, because you live in fear and the failure and expectations, and you're tired and you lie to yourself that you're the only one, and you begin to live in comparison. Are you getting it this morning, church? It is impossible for you to be God-focused when the devil has you here. The fear of tomorrow. All the things that didn't work out in your life, and your life is not what you thought, and you served the Lord and you were zealous for God, and look, you obeyed Him, and look where it got you. And you're tired, and you're alone, and you're the only one going through this. Just withdraw and be by yourself, and you have the wrong perception of your life, and just look at everyone else. They're happy. It's no wonder Elijah told God, I've had enough. Because anyone that lives like this cannot experience the joy of the Lord. I'm sorry. Anyone that lives like this with a self-centered focus of this cannot have peace. And that's why the devil loves him. And as long as this mirror stays this way in my house, I will never know the truth of what God says. But the majority of Christians, the devil just says, just think about yourself. Let me close with this morning. How many of you needed this word this morning? Self-focused. Say, Pastor, okay, you got me, I'm depressed. But just understand something. If this is you today, this morning, the Lord says, don't fear for tomorrow. You're going to be okay. For every failed expectation is an open door that God has for you. Trust the plans that God has for your life. You're not alone. You're not the only one going through what you're going through. And I want to tell you this morning, for what it's worth, you have a pastor in the church that loves you. You're not alone. Thank you, Jesus. You're tired. And God says, get up and eat. Listen. That's like the Lord telling me, get up and go fishing. Get up and go serve. Get up and take a walk. You know, I walk with Jericho and the baby every day because I need it. Shut my phone off and go walking. Don't ignore yourself. Treat yourself. Go to Hobby Lobby. Buy yourself one of these signs. Treat yourself. Don't lie to yourself. Don't let the devil lie to you. Change your perception of life by the word of God. And stop comparing yourself to others. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. But be who God has created you to be. And trust the God that has made you. Since you were born, He's already known your life. You don't have to compare yourself to others. I'll ask you this question. It's Romans 8:6. The Bible says, the mind of a sinful man is death. That's where the devil wants you. But the mind that's controlled by the Spirit is life, which is translated joy, and peace. You know, where there's joy and there's peace, depression cannot exist. And how do you get that place of peace and joy? It all comes down to what controls your mind. The flesh or the world? Or the Spirit of God? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. But you have been so self-centered and so self-focused that you have not leaned into the Spirit of God. In your depression, you don't pray. In your depression, you don't worship. In your depression, you don't really come to church. In your depression, you don't really come to God. But God would turn to Elijah and say this to him. In verse 11, he says, go to the mountain, the Lord. Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of what? The Lord. Before God can even correct Elijah, he had to command him. Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah, you've taken on too much. And he says, Elijah, get out of this cave and come to my presence. How do you fight and get saved from depression? It's in the presence of God. When you have these thoughts control you, you run to the presence of God in His Word. You run to the presence of God in worship. You run to the presence of your God in the church and you just talk about it. But you go to the Lord in His presence. And when Elijah went to the presence of the Lord, is where the Lord corrected him. The Lord changed his perception. The Lord told him in his presence, I have 7,000 more. Meaning he told Elijah, Elijah, you're lying to yourself and you're wrong. Here's the truth. And the Bible says the truth will set you free. And then Elijah heard God tell him, go out and anoint this king and anoint that king and anoint Elisha. You see, God was telling Elijah, go and do this and go and do that because Elijah, I'm not done with you yet. And I want to tell someone this morning, God's not done with you. It may feel like it's over. It may feel like you've had enough. It may feel like you have too much on you. But God is telling me right now through my spirit, He's not done with you. And what you have told yourself, the fear, the lies, the failed expectations, everything is a lie. And God is still working and God still has a plan. And I want to tell you something that really just came to my mind as I was going through this preaching. Now, the one thing Elijah was afraid of was Jezebel killing him. He was afraid of death. But Elijah was one of the two people in the Bible that never saw death. The Lord just raptured him. And we see him again in the New Testament in the mountain of transfiguration. But see, what comes to my mind is that the very thing Elijah feared never happened. And someone needs to hear this morning. The very thing you're afraid of right now, the majority of things that you and I fear never come to pass. So stop fearing. God is in this place this morning. I believe He wants to set you free. In the presence of God, there's freedom. Make it a habit to be in the Word of God. Make it a habit to serve others. God told Elijah, go and anoint Elijah. Go and serve Elijah. Anoint him. When you pour yourself out into other people, you don't have time to be self-centered and depression begins to die. When you begin to be in the Word of God and in worship, you're not self-centered, but you're God-centered. It controls your mind and it begins to kill the depression in you. And I want this to come down into your spirit this morning. When King Saul was depressed and down, they called David to worship, and as David worshiped, the spirit of depression left him. Because there's power when you worship God. When the man in the tomb was under bondage, and the devil had him down in depression and discouragement and nakedness and shame, he fell at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says that he was set free, and he was clothed and in his right mind. And I believe this morning, the Lord can touch you as He did Elijah to get back up and realize that depression doesn't have to control you anymore. So as Frankie leads us in a song of worship, and I want to pray for you. I want to pray for every person this morning. This is a hard message because you're going to have to get real with God and say, Lord, I'm going through this right now. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. Would you come to this altar today? If you're saying, Pastor, I'm just here because there's depression in my life. There's no shame in that. You come now. You come now and say, Pastor, there's depression in my life. The devil has me fearful. He has me lying. He has me discouraged. He has me alone. He has me tired. He has me lying to myself. He has me comparison. He has me with no joy. He has me with no peace. And I have had enough. Yes, you've had enough. I pray that you've had enough of depression and cannot get enough of Jesus this morning. And you come this morning just as you are. And I want to pray with you this morning. And after I pray, we're going to close with a song of worship. I don't know what Frankie has, but I know she's going to bless us. But we're going to pray and we're going to worship. And you're going to let this go in the hands of Jesus. And you're going to kill the self-focus and focus on the Lord. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to think about why you're depressed. Maybe you don't even know why. That's how deep you're in right now. What has you afraid? What failed expectations control your mind? What loneliness do you carry? What is too much for you? What do you tell yourself that you know it's a lie? Who do you compare yourself to? I want you to take that very depressed mindset right now. And in your heart, just say, Lord, touch me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every soul here that's going through a life of depression. I pray for every person here right now as they think about what depresses them. Before we pray about your depression, church, I want to know without a doubt that you have made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. Because more than the Lord saving you from depression, He needs to save you from hell. And if you're not sure this morning, if you have a relationship with Jesus, today is the day you can come before Him and confess in repentance and surrender your life to Him. And if that's you this morning, would you pray this with me? Just say, Lord Jesus, today I ask you to forgive me of my sins as I repent and surrender my life to you. Be my Lord in Jesus' name. Father, I lift up every person here with depression. I pray, Father, that as we worship you this morning, that you will shake it off us and know that it's going to be okay. Father, that you are greater than anything that we face right now. And Father, everything we have is too much. I pray for those that have gone through things, Lord, unspeakable things that have them depressed. In Jesus' name, I pray that they find forgiveness and they forgive those in the past and move on to the future, Lord. I pray for those that are thinking about the future in fear, Lord. I pray that you will give us a peace that surpasses all understanding, that you are God, you are almighty, you are in control. You have a way when there seems to be no way, Father. You will make a way in the impossible. Lord, you love us and care for us, and there is nothing to be feared. For you say in your word, not to fear tomorrow, be anxious for anything. So, Father, we pray and we surrender all fear and anxiety of the future and all depression in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' mighty name, I command depression to leave. In the name of Jesus, bring joy now and peace to the hearts of everyone here. Let peace and joy control our minds as we worship you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Come on, church, let's worship him one more time. Come on, let's worship the Lord. Would you take your mind off yourself this morning and you worship him right now as Frankie leads us in this song of worship. Come on, you're not alone, church. The hand of the person you're holding is the hand of someone that's going through what you're going through. It's the hand of a person that's gone through what you've gone through or will go through what you're going through. But all of us are a church, we're a family. And God has this. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for this service and for part 5 of this series, Lord. Father, we humble ourselves and confess that this is too much for us. This life and the burdens of life is too much. And at times, Lord, our pride gets in the way and we think we got it. But the truth is, Lord, we just fall into depression because it's too much. But Father, you have shown us today that you are sovereign and in control. That you can meet us where we're at and touch us and revive us again. And Father, I pray that you would create in us a desire for worship, your presence every day, your word and church. But every day depression dies. And when it comes back, we kill it again with worship. We kill it again with your word. We kill it again with church. Believing, Lord, that you are who you say you are, and your word is true today. And Father, in the end, we win. In the end, we're okay. So get us through and strengthen us every day. In Jesus' name, let me read Isaiah 40, 29 through 31 to dismiss as we get ready for our tithes and offering. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 through 31. It says, He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. And even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. And I speak that over your life this morning, that the Lord who renews our strength will strengthen you right now. Where the word of God says they will soar on wings like eagles, they will run and not grow weary, they will walk and not faint. So as you dismiss this morning, know that the Lord renews your strength that you need to continue to walk in this life. And you will not faint in Jesus' name. Do you receive that this morning? Then give him a huge shout of praise this morning. Amen. And amen. Amen.